Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
What are the absolute most robust criteria for defining progression? And it is likely going to include, Sydney, symptoms, some physiological component, potentially some quantitative imaging like you're doing, and probably some circulating biomarkers.
Today, Drs. Montesi and Martinez join the podcast to discuss prime PPF, biomarkers, imaging, and ILD treatment in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Sydney Montesi. I'm a pulmonary and critical care specialist at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, and an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School.
And I'm Dr. Fernando Martinez. I'm the academic chief of the Division of Pulmonary Allergy and Critical Care Medicine. And I'm also the Joseph D. Early Chair in Biomedical Research at the University of Massachusetts Chan Medical School in Worcester, Mass. Welcome back and join us for the next part of our discussion. But as I'm sure you may be aware, Sydney, there's a whole group of us globally. It's a study of about 40 or 50 people right now. Have created an ongoing prospective cohort study. Prime PPF. Don't even ask me to say what stands for. Justin Oldham as the other came up with Prime. I think he came some clever way of saying it. I don't remember why. It sounded good. And that is a prospective non-IPF cohort of patients where we're trying to define what are the absolute most robust criteria for defining progression. And it is likely going to include, Sydney, symptoms, some physiological component, potentially some quantitative imaging like you're doing, and probably some circulating biomarkers. And I think that within the course of the next 4 to 5 years, I think that the PPF classification is going to be much more solidified so that we can look at a patient and say, based on boop, 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 I think you're going to have some trouble over the next couple of years. And then you as a clinician will have a much better opportunity of saying, but we have a series of antifibrotic agents that can be used. And so that is my goal, is to be able to provide a more standardized recommendation to our fellow clinicians and most importantly, patients and their families regarding what they're going to expect and how you make the therapeutic decision-making in that component.
So speaking of therapeutic decision-making, you know, our current approach for within the non-IPF ILD, for the most part, is initiation of immunomodulatory therapy and or removing offending antigens in the case of hypersensitive pneumonitis. And then when there is evidence of disease progression, initiation of antifibrotic therapy. How do you think that it would, refining this classification for PPF would help for changing that in terms of non-IPF ILD, high risk for disease progression, moving up the time at which an antifibrotic is started?
So that's actually the key question right now. And so in your comment, there are several key issues. The first is an understanding that in progressive disease, in non-IPF disease, you have to understand the underlying disease biology so that you do not just automatically say antifibrotic, antifibrotic, antifibrotic. And so for systemic autoimmune diseases, there is a whole body of literature of immunomodulatory therapy that needs to be considered. That is considered standard therapy. And if you read that ATS statement, it says progressive features on top of standard therapy. Mm-hmm. We didn't say exactly what standard therapy was, but we assumed that you would know, Sydney, what standard therapy was. And so for HP, you cannot underestimate the fact that if you can find that underlying thing, you got to remove it. I mean, that's pretty practical stuff. And so I think that those components need to be understood by clinicians. And then the next step is once you have use standard therapy based on the underlying biological process, and there is evidence by some of these combined criteria that there's progression, then you need to decide in your own mind, all right, is this progression fibrosis-based? And if the answer is yes, then you start considering the potential of antifibrotic therapy. I think that is a really key component of what we need to understand for progressive pulmonary fibrosis. And what's interesting, Sydney, is some of the work that we're doing now in this Prime PPF program suggest that by some of the circulating biomarkers, so Justin is convinced that proteomics is the answer to all of life's problems. If he ever listens to that, sorry, Justin. And he's one of my colleagues, and Sydney works with him as well. And so he and his group have published a series of papers that suggest that there are actually proteomic signatures that predict responsiveness to immunomodulatory therapy in some of these disorders. So my goal, my hope will be that once we have a better sense of what the physiology threshold should be, what the imaging approach should be, that we'll be able to use circulating blood tests to help guide us not only in standard of care, but also then when antifibrotic and which antifibrotic. I think that's going to be the next approach that we're going to take.
And I think this also ties into consideration of side effect profiles for antifibrotics. So hopefully with time, if we get more antifibrotic agents or improve with improved tolerability, then it makes it easier to consider incorporating these medications earlier, especially when we think about immunomodulatory therapies that are commonly used, like mycophenolate, for which compounding GI side effects would really affect tolerability.
I agree. I mean, I'm sure I know you know this, Sydney, because you're part of some of these studies with us, that there are studies that are being designed or ongoing right now to start treating them much earlier, even before these traditional criteria for progression. And so I do think that over the course of the next 4 to 5 years, the field is going to be much more challenging in a good way, because you're going to have to do much more careful thinking with an individual patient. And it's going to be what you said in oncology. It's going to be oncology paradigms in terms of combination therapies targeted to individual patients. This is much better than it used to be. I mean, this is like a totally new field for us. This is great.
This has been a great discussion, Fernando. Thank you.
My pleasure, Sydney. Thanks a lot.
And thank you all for joining us today for a discussion of progressive pulmonary fibrosis classification and the practical considerations involved in defining progressive disease in clinical practice and what this means to our patients.
And that's today's special spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Montesi and Martinez. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.